which was inadvertently erased.
Cool. Then the obligation of halal is only with the rabban, rabbinical art. And what the Gemara means to say in the Septim Megillah Bat Yudal is, well, it's not considered a completely new innovation, which is inappropriate, because after it's based upon an obligation which exists by Torah law at the time of the actual miracle. Proofs, isn't it? Shira Sayam. That's what Rashi quotes here. Do we say Shira Sayam today? We don't say halal. Well, Shiris, I mean, we happen to be in the laning, but it's not a formal obligation as such of halal on Shvi'ish or Pesach. It must be that it's purely of rabbinical origin in subsequent years. An obligation which exists by Torah law at the time of the actual miracle. Proofs, isn't it? Shiris Hayam. That's what Rashi quotes here. Do we say Shiris Hayam today? We don't say halal. Well, Shiris, I mean, we happen to be in the laning, but it's not a formal obligation as such of halal on Shvi'ish or Pesach. It must be that it's purely of rabbinical origin in subsequent years. Oh. So now, back to your question. You asked, how can a woman be exempt? Shouldn't they be obligated the same as they were obligated in Yom Suf? The answer is, you're right. That's maybe one reason why they're obligated to see position Mitzrayim. Because it transpired then, on the spot they are obligated. As Miriam sang. So to this, every year on Pesach night, Seder night, we consider it as if it actually happened then. This explains to us a very, very enigmatic issue. Why is it that we don't have an obligation to say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach? We say half hour, it's just a minute. Why not? So the Mefarshim say, Ma'isa Yorai Tovim Bayam. The people were, the human creatures were drowning, so it's not appropriate that we should have a... So the question then is, what do you mean? But Pesach night, the first night we say halo, people died then too, they died in the Makas Bechoros. So what's the difference? Follow me? Same way we say we don't say Shvi'ish or Pesach. Why? Because the people died, so the first night Pesach, all the people died. So the answer is as follows. It depends. If it's up to the rabbis to institute Hallel, they don't do so when people were dying. So the seventh night Pesach, they didn't institute Hallel. But in the first night Pesach, Hallel is a Torah obligation. Why is Hallel a Torah obligation? Why? Because it's right happening right now. And the Mitziv said right now is a Torah obligation. So therefore right now there's an obligation to say the halal. Once it's a right now obligation, the Torah obligation, we can't be concerned with the fact that some people died. We're concerned, but it doesn't take away from the Torah obligation. Only when it's a rabbinical obligation, we don't introduce it under such a circumstance. This explains that as well. Okay. We went a little over time, but we started late also. I'm sorry for the gap in the tape. Hasn't happened in 13 years. So many of us have managed to completely forget, if we ever knew, what to do when it's an unusual circumstance. Let's have some basics, which are clear. Then we'll get into some more sophisticated details a little later. Number one. The Bidikas Chametz, which usually takes place on the night before Pesach, takes place this year, of course, two nights before Pesach. The night before Pesach is Friday night. It's not a time to go around with a flashlight or a candle searching for chametz. So you have to move everything up a day earlier. So the Bidikas Chametz on Thursday night this year. Thursday night. Now, burning the chametz. Usually you burn the chametz on Erev Pesach in the morning. This year it's impossible. That's Shabbos. You have to burn the chametz on Friday. Now, in theory, you can burn the chametz on Friday all day long. It's a little dark. But there's a very strong custom, goes back to Rashi already, to burn the chametz on Friday in the morning. And the reason for that is that you will confuse it otherwise. If you don't burn on Friday morning, next year they'll burn into an Erev Pesach in the afternoon, real Erev Pesach, which is not permitted. So therefore, it's done, as usual, on Friday morning. That's the tradition. Now, that's the easy stuff. That's easy. Now we come to the biggest nightmare of all, which is that Shabbos itself. How do you manage that Shabbos? What do you do? Well, let's get right to the heart of the matter. The problem is obvious. Nobody wants to have too much chametz around the house, if any. At the same time, we are required to fulfill the mitzvah of having three Shabbos meals. And to make these much more difficult, not only may you not have chametz after 10 o'clock or sometimes a little before 10 o'clock on Shabbos morning, which we all know, as there are pains in the morning, but you may not all be aware of the fact that you're not allowed to have matzah either. You may not eat matzah on the day before Pesach. Big controversy as to what time the prohibition begins. Some say it begins at night, some say it begins in the morning, some say it begins at noon or at 10 o'clock. But our custom to begin cooking the whole morning in the Florida. So therefore, you're going to be stuck Erev Pesach in the morning. What do you do? Can't eat matzah. Okay. Aside from that, what do you do with the dishes and the pots and all things of this kind of this nature? So there is a tradition which is about, it's very complex. What do you do if you have pots and transfer the dishes? It gets very, very complicated. And I will tell you my opinion straight before I ever get to what everyone else says. Because I think that what I think is the best way out. The best way out by far. Today's world, and that is the entire house is Pesach before Shabbos begins. That means there's no chametzika pots around, no chametzika dishes around. Don't even they read in the books differently. Just forget about it. Forget about it. I have a book here right in front of me. I just got it. Someone gave it to me. A book came out this year, 1994, third edition. How do you forget about it? Just forget about it. Finish. No. As far as utensils are concerned, both pot and dishes, everything is pasted from before Shabbos. Period. That solves the problem as far as all the foods are concerned. Everything is pasted. Alright. So you have the regular fare, you know, fish, and then if you want to make, if you're brave enough to make soup, and meat, potatoes, stuff, whatever you want to make, kugel, whatever, regular pay for a meal. Fine. That takes care of the meal problem. What I haven't taken care of at all so far is what do you do as far as the obligation? Eat more than meat, potatoes, fish, and soup. You probably are aware of the fact that we have an obligation to eat three meals on the Shabbos, and those three meals have to consist of more than meat and potatoes and fish and soup. At least according to the way we understand, the obligation is to have more than that, have grain products, and ideally, you actually have something which is called in Hebrew, lechem. Now, I'm using the word lechem, as I purposely didn't give you an English word. I didn't want you to do it, get too nervous. But when I say bread, roll, challah, matzah, I don't know what to say. We're called lechem. The Torah refers to matzah as lechem. Okay, lechem only. That's also the lechem. You know, challah is also called lechem. So the word lechem is a general term, so we won't translate it yet. That's what it calls pot, Pesach, which is also the same thing. So you have to have lechem or pots, according to most authorities, three times on Shabbos. There are those who are more lenient and say, and this applies, by the way, to every single Shabbos, not just to this Shabbos that we're talking about, that it's enough to have lechem two times, once at night, and once by day, and the third meal can be fulfilled with less than lechem. How? Well, some say any kind of mizonos, any made from the five grains. Some go as far as they can even be fulfilled with meat or fish, and some go as far as they can even be fulfilled with fruits or vegetables. This last statement applies 52 Shabbos in a year. It's not limited to this particular Shabbos. It's a major controversy. It's found in the Shulchan Aruch. Wants to look it up, you can. It's the Siman Reish Sadi Aleph 291. It has on English Mishnah Berurah, so you look it up there too. And there is a discussion of whether the third meal, what we call colloquially Shalosh Shuddos, must be lechem, bread or matzah, or can it be any kind of mezonos or grain product, or can it be meat or fish, or can it even be fruit or vegetables? What do we do in point of fact? Well, ideally, we try to track follow the strictest view. Here we have a shul every Shabbos, at least in the wintertime, we have shalosh shudis, and the shalosh shudis is a challah roll everybody's plate. We don't play around with other things. Everyone has a challah roll, and everyone washes. And that's how we fulfill the shalosh shudis properly, because that's what you did. All right. So now we're really in trouble. Let's review again what our predicament is. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I just said before to get rid of everything, which is, has any chametz, not to use any chametz, like a pot or pans or dishes or forks or spoons or nothing. So now, what are we going to do about this need, this necessity, to have at the centerpiece of your Shabbos field, at least two or maybe three, to have something called lechem? You can't use matzah on Erev Pesach, we just got to say. So then what are you left with? So, we now come to a number of controversies in the discussion of today. She's going to be the interface, the coming together of all of these controversies. We try to put them together and see what we come up with. There is a dispute concerning the status of what we call today colloquially, as it's called commercially, egg matzah. There's about three different disputes concerning egg matzah. One, one dispute about egg matzah is it included in the prohibition of matzah on Erev Pesach? May you eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach, or may you not eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach? It's a major dispute. Shulchan Aruch said you may. You may eat egg matzah. When I say egg, I don't mean only egg matzah. I mean any kind of matzah which is made with other liquids and not with water. Shulchan Aruch says you may eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Because the reason you're not permitted to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach is it's a mitzvah to eat it on the night of Pesach. You shouldn't jump the gun. Even eating it now when it's tonight is a mitzvah. But since egg matzah is not a mitzvah, you're supposed to eat lechem only, which is plain flour and water. As a result, the ruling generally is that, in the Shulchan Aruch anyway, that you may eat the egg matzah on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach by day. However, the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon and many others seem to say that's not true. Egg matzah is very similar to matzah. It's very similar to matzah. It tastes more or less like matzah, looks more or less like matzah. As a result, they claim one may not eat this egg matzah on the Erev Pesach. Moreover, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, the front of the Rosh, pointed out, according to the Rambam, one may actually use the egg matzah Pesach night, because the Rambam only recognizes four official beverages which would render the matzah unfit for use at the Seder. What are these four official beverages? Well, they are wine, milk, honey, and oil. Those are the four official beverages. Any other beverage, such as apple juice, which is used with egg matzah, would not render it unfit for use, according to the Rambam. And therefore, you could actually use Pesach night. And for that reason, it can and may not be used, according to some authorities, Erev Pesach by day. So again, we've had the first controversy concerning egg matzah. May or may you not eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach by day. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the answer is yes, you may. And according to the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon and others, Soloveitchik had a different point than the Rambam, the answer may be perhaps that you may not be permitted to have this egg matzah. So it's a controversy. It's a controversy. That's as far as egg matzah from the perspective of matzah. So my Rebbe felt that using egg matzah in Erev Pesach is inappropriate because it maybe has the status of matzah, and the status of matzah may not be eaten on Erev Pesach. Is that clear? There's a question, ask me now. Alright. But Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he felt no. We can rely on the Shulchan Aruch's opinion that egg matzah is not considered to be matzah. Get a different problem. But Moshe was worried Maybe Egmont is considered chametz. You may have seen your Egmont on the side of the box. It says, this product may only be eaten by older persons who can't chew well, or younger persons whose teeth are not developed yet, or individuals who don't feel well. What's this all about? Well, it's a long story. There are those who claim that if you mix flour with a different beverage other than water, that it could lead, if you're not very careful, to a very quick process of becoming chametz, even faster than flour and water by themselves. As a result of this custom, the minig of Ashkenaz, any Sephardim here? No. The minig of Ashkenaz is not to eat egg matzah on Pesach, period, unless someone who is a chola, someone who feel well, or a zokan, someone who is older and can't chew well, or a katan, or a child who can't chew well either. But for a healthy person, should not eat egg matzah on Pesach, period. However, since this is only a stringency, this is not the actual ruling, it's just a stringency, there are those who claim that this stringency only applies to Pesach proper, does not apply and extend to Erev Pesach. And therefore Erev Pesach, some claim, even according to the custom of the Ramah, Ashkenaz not to have egg matzah on Pesach, you may have egg matzah up into and including the right before the sunset on Erev Pesach, some claim. But others claim that it's just not true. Others say that a person may not eat egg matzah past the time when you're not permitted to eat bread. Which, as I said before, this is before 10 o'clock in the morning, and this is Shabbos in a few weeks from now. And Rav Meish was worried about that opinion. So therefore, Rav Meish is the following advice for Jewish homemakers who don't want to have any chametz in their house at all on Erev Pesach. Get rid of it all before Pesach. Burn it on Friday. What do you use for the Shabbos meals? What do you use? You can't eat matzah, we said, on Erev Pesach. Chametz they don't want to have. No problem, Rav Moshe. Use egg matzah. And just have two meals. Have one meal Friday night with egg matzah, another meal Shabbos morning with egg matzah, and then that's it. So we'll see the way we can divide it in half. We'll get to that detail a little bit later on. Right. I say 10, it's before that, 9 or something. In this particular book that he writes, I don't accept responsibility for the accuracy of this. These times that are found here, but this book which I received in the mail, it says 9:33 a.m. Okay. Roy is at 9:15, I know. And I think the answer, I think it's much closer to 10 o'clock. But whatever it is, we'll get the bulletin. When we have our bulletin, we'll probably see two times there, whenever they are. Anyway, we'll get to that. That's not the point right now. We'll get to the details later. Now, I must tell you that I recommend that any home in which there is a serious paranoia concerning chametz in the house and not Shabbos, I recommend they follow the tzad of Rav Moshe and to get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos and rely upon egg matzah. However, in homes in which there is not this paranoia, I recommend a different approach, which is what we've used in our house on Erev Pesach, which is fall on Shabbos. It happened three times in relatively short order. If I'm not mistaken, in 74 and 77 and 81. Hasn't happened since 81. It's happened three times within a relatively short period of time. It's not happening for 20 years. Right. So it's the vagaries of the Jewish calendar. What we did was as follows. We actually ate challah. How can I say to you challah? I just told you before, everything in the world is the whole house is paid something. Yes, true. So that's Pesach except for the challah. Challah is not Pesach day. What we did, if I'm not mistaken, is we gave everybody a challah roll. A challah roll. Let's take a Friday night meal just to give an example. We make kiddush, the table, a kiddush and a Pesach, like a cup. Okay? The table was bare. Absolutely, completely bare. Nothing was on the table at all. Zero. Then, We, with the utmost of care, now I don't need that. Now I have disposable tablecloths. We don't have to need all these tricks that we had to do 20 years ago. So we have enough to have disposable tablecloths. And even with a disposable tablecloth, you put napkins in front of everybody. The biggest size napkin you can find. And then you have one bag. It's like the uranium. One bag, which is hidden somewhere very carefully, which has in it one challah roll per person. Assume that the person can finish a challah roll. One challah roll per person. And what we did was, we put one challah roll on everybody's napkin, except it was two at the front of the table for the one who was the lechem mishnah. And then he gave a little part of his extra, one of his, to everybody very carefully. And we went to wash, to made our motzi. And Emma had orders to finish the complete challah roll and eat it over the napkin. And any crumbs fall down, pick them up, as you can see, and put it in your mouth and eat it. The spark and chew the secrets, So you have to chew up every last bit of that challah roll. If in advance you know that some members of the family can't eat so much, don't account for them, so don't give them. Look, some of them are under 13 or 12 years old, don't have to really worry about it. If there's any problem with anyone under bar mitzvah, forget about it, or her. If you feel the person is capable of the following orders, then you can include him or her in this deal. Then what we did was, we removed the napkins completely. There were really nothing there. Any crumbs that were there were really minuscule, microscopic. Very small, halakhically really irrelevant. Irrelevant, because they were much less than what we call a kazayas, which is the sound of an olive. And we took these little napkins, folded them up very carefully, and put them in the garbage. It wasn't really even a need to get rid of it before Pesach. We probably did, because it was filled with all kinds of other things. Put it in whatever room we put all the other garbage. But there's no real need to call it olive. After this is complete, this clandestine, surreptitious procedure, which is done with all the windows closed and the shutters pulled and the door locked. Then, okay, now pull out, now set the table. Set the table with pace of the dishes and pace of the forks and knives instead of the pace of the meal. Then we benched. Now, you say, what kind of funny meal was this? Was it a pace of the meal or was it a chavos of the meal? It depends on what you're talking about. The bread that we broke, if you will, was very, very chametzik. It was challah roll. However, usually when we have a Shabbos meal, the challah, they're always there. Challah with the fish, challah with the soup, challah with the this. Nuh-uh. That will not pass. That cannot happen on that Shabbos. The challah is eaten up at the very beginning of the meal, it's a kind of a introduction to the meal. It's a significant part of the meal, it fills you up, etc. But it cannot be had together with the other parts of the meal. Of course, it's because we're afraid to mix up the leave challah around for too long. Now, in theory, the truth matters in theory. If a person wants to have challah with gefilte fish, it's easy to do it. All you need is to have everything disposable. Today it can be done. And you can filter fish on top of that napkin, you put your disposable plastic fork, on top of your hard plastic dish, right? And your fish coming out of a disposable tin. I don't know, is it just enough? So then you can do that too if you want, but you can survive 1 week with the challah 5 minutes before the fish, instead of with the fish.
Can you bring Mark to say the question?
No.
Is there a problem as you see it with chametz stick mouth teeth then biting onto Pesach stick utensils?
Chametz stick teeth?
So to speak.
Yeah.
Right? A crummy mouth.
A crummy mouth.
Right.
Well, if you feel your mouth is going to be crummy, then I recommend that as soon as you finish your challah roll, you get a disposable cup and get water from the sink or the fridge and then and just drink it out, swallow it up.
How do you have the challah rolls if you disown them when you burnt it the day before?
That's a very good question. How do you have a challah roll if you already burnt your chametz the day before? Well, let's not get excited. We burnt chametz before, but so what? We burnt some chametz left over a challah roll. You're allowed to do that. That's that's what actually is considered to be the normal way of doing business.
That's why you specify when your chametz is in your hat and you're selling. No?
They've got to selling it. This question is burning. Selling is a different story. How the rabbi will handle the sale this year is another problem. Well, I'll mention that if I have a chance later on. But as far as he's, you know, it doesn't say I have to sell your chametz. That's not a bit of shulchanot. You must sell your chametz. So you burn your chametz on Friday, whatever's left. We don't find explicitly you have to burn, especially to get like this, the very last morsel of chametz. On a normal year, we do that. We try to burn the last chametz that we have. We have a big fire here in shul. This kind of a year, it's true, it would be a lot really preferable in some sense to burn the last morsel of chametz on Erev Pesach. On the other hand, and I guess for those individuals who plan to use egg matzah, then I guess we should do that. Why not? Burn the last chametz is just a preferred thing to do. However, those who don't want to use egg matzah for a variety of reasons, maybe they consider it to be matzah, but you can't eat on Erev Pesach. Or there are other reasons, maybe they don't want it, we'll see soon. So then they would have to have challah, and then there's no point in being not really burning the last piece on Friday. Okay, so we have therefore now two options so far. The option of egg matzah, which Rav Moshe Zichrono Livracha has, and my option, which is challah, but I recommend the challah just be a very limited amount per person, has on a disposable napkin, on a disposable tablecloth, and then it's disposed of, and only any crumbs before they try to eat up. And then, bring out the paper to the meal to the bench.
What
yes?
Okay,
1 second. That's fine for Friday night. That's also fine for Shabbos morning. As long as you get up early in the morning, and you have your Shabbos meal, you don't have to finish the meal. As long as you finish the chametz, take a part of the meal, just the beginning of the meal, as we just described, before the time, whether it be 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever it may be. How early must we daven in order for this to happen? That's a good question. Davening takes 2 hours. Let's say. No speech that one. Davening takes 2 hours. All right? So go figure it out. 2 hours. And let's assume the time is either 9:30 or 10. Take each case scenario. And you have to walk home. And they have to have a meal, right? At least have the challah part. Make kiddush have the challah part of the meal. Well, let's figure it out. When do we have to daven on Shabbos? 6:15. That's a good estimate.
No,
awfully early in the morning. I mean, 6:45. You say?
Yeah.
Vesikin. Vesikin is even earlier than that. Vesikin
is.
Vesikin. Well, now already the sun rises at 6:30 approximately. And so we got a minute earlier per day, and that's another month till Pesach almost. So it'll be probably 6 o'clock or so, will be the sunrise approximately. Maybe a little bit later, maybe not, I don't know, I didn't look it up. We'll look it up in the chart. About 6. If you want to daven for Sikin, that's daven at what, 20 after 5. Who wants to daven here 20 after 5? You can stay home, you have no problem. Who wants to wake up for a husband or a son at 5 o'clock in the morning or earlier to be at the 20 after 5? Raise your hand.
If they have to go to work, they get up at that time so they can do it on the top.
Before 5, there are a few people that get up before that hour to go to work.
5:30.
I'm talking about in Riverdale. I'm not discussing Poland. Anyway, it's a big problem here in Shul. It's a big problem. I will consult my records. I didn't look it up, but we did 13 years ago. And we did, I have the schedules that's gone back almost 20 years. The first few years, my archives are pretty poor, but then I got a little bit smarter. I started saving all the bulletins. I think we daven at like 6:30 or 7. I don't remember. I think it was 6:30. That's my recollection. It's not the earliest you could daven.
Have Mr. Marks.
Sure. Yeah, that we do on Shavuot, I think, when everyone else does. Okay, anyway. So let's say we finish. Let's say we dive at 6:30, just for argument's sake. 6:30 to 8:30. So it depends when you get home. Some people get home at 8:35. Some will get home at 9 o'clock. They'll fire you from shul. But anyway, you have the ample time, even for the earlier time of 9:30. You have the 9:15 time, because I saw in the Breuers. Then you're getting running a little close. I don't know where they got that time from. I'll try to find out. But even then you have enough time just to have a kiddush and a challah before the time. Oh. But it's a major problem. That's a really major problem. What do you do with shalashudas? The word shalashudas, the Yiddish is it. It's really Hebrew for what? Suda shalishis, which is shalashudas. So I'm just coming to corrupt a little bit. Now here's a big problem. What do you do with the shalashudas? You can't have challah. You can't have matzah. And according to Rav Moshe, the few minute Ashkenaz, you can't even have egg matzah. So now what do you do?
Do you have two meals Friday night, so Saturday morning is a third?
Good question.
What?
The question is raised, why don't you have two meals Friday night, but the third meal can be done Shabbos morning, solve all the world's problems.
Don't have
to
have
it on Shabbos morning. Oh. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, and that's what the Rambam used to say, the three Shabbos meals must take place at three different time slots, if I may use that expression. Friday night is one meal, Shabbos morning is another meal, and Shabbos afternoon is the third meal. Period.
That's according to the
Shulchan? No, Shulchan doesn't say so explicitly. The Aruch HaShulchan. That's the name that the memory turned around. And he says, he doesn't understand why the Poskim don't say this. The Rambam seems to say it. But it doesn't seem to have caught on as a very popular opinion. And I say this advisedly because, as I will describe soon, we have a problem with this every week. Every week. Why? Because you see, if one meal is required in the morning, when is the morning over? When does the morning end? The morning ends at midday. When is midday? Well, it depends on when the sun rises and when the sun sets. Midday in New York could be as early as 11:40 or even a trifle earlier. But 20 to 12. Many Jewish homes, fine Orthodox observant Jewish homes, don't make Kiddush until after that time. Forget about having their bread. They don't make Kiddush until after that time. They're still in shul. Many shuls go past that hour. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult for me to sit here and tell you that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of the Shabbos morning meal unless you have it or begin it before, you know, the halakhic midpoint of the day. Even though I really think it's probably true, but yeah, I don't want to come and be too harsh on the Jewish people. No problems already now. But nevertheless, ideally, I think everybody should try his or her best to get the meal moving so it can be begun before, whenever the midpoint of the day is. And here in shul, we try very hard to allow for that possibility. I can't guarantee what happens when you leave the shul, you know, but at least to allow for that possibility. And the flip side of that is that the third Shabbos meal can only be fulfilled in the afternoon, after the halachic midpoint of the day, and even a half an hour beyond that, it doesn't give you a margin of error. So what do? You can't have chametz, you can't have matzah, you can't even have egg matzah according to Rav Moshe's version of Minhag Ashkenaz. So you're stuck completely, there's nothing to be done. Some people, the Tosfos read that they had egg matzah. They believe that egg matzah could be consumed even on Pesach, how much more so on Erev Pesach. But it's more to not to consume it on Pesach proper. There are those who extend this custom even to Erev Pesach, so they're stuck. What about matzah balls? Matzah balls is matzah which is cooked. Once it's cooked, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's no longer qualified for use Seder night as matzah. Take a matzah and you cook it on the fire, and water on the fire, that's it, it's disqualified for matzah. So use a knedel, matzah ball, and that should be the easiest way to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalashudas, albeit not properly. Because a matzah ball is not considered bread, you don't make a motzi matzah ball, you make a mezonos. At least with a mezonos. Or leave out matzah balls, what else can you possibly use for cake? Matzah milk cake. Now it's true that matzah milk cake is baked and not cooked. However, in my humble opinion, matzah milk cake may be consumed, may be eaten, again, according to the strict halacha, certainly, on Erev Pesach. In my opinion, it's permissible. Again, it's one of the prevailing customs of having egg matzah. You can certainly have matzah. Well, we'll come to that a little bit later, how much cake you have to eat. We'll come to that. 1 minute, one, slowly. Now,
what if you don't give her up? You really stunned him.
You don't get brought, and you don't get brought even already on what? On Erev Pesach, which many people don't. You're stuck. You can't use matzah balls, you can't use matzah milk cake either for that matter. Finished. Hold on. So the Mishnah Brura has the following statement. It's very important. Oh, well, let me first finish before I get to the Mishnah Brura. The Mogen Avraham writes that although cooked matzah should be permissible, but it's customary not to eat cooked matzah. On Erev Pesach. Even though it was apparently customary to eat egg matzah, but I guess cooked matzah is somehow worse. Why? I guess, although I can't say for sure, egg matzah was never any good for the mitzvah, he assumes. And cooked matzah at one point in his history was before he cooked it. That's apparently why the custom was to be more strict with cooked matzah than even with egg matzah.
Yeah, cooked egg matzah.
Cooked egg matzah. Okay, so much with that. Anyway, so the Mishnah Brura says as follows. What you should do is first have a meal prior night. That's meal number one. Secondly, he says, the Shabbos morning meal, writes Mishnah Brura, should be divided in half. Divided in half. You divide the Shabbos morning meal into two parts. And you manage somehow to, number one, have a adequate time separation or other type of separation, which may include walking around the block, which may include having a Torah study session, which may include whatever else you're doing around the house or outside the house. And then wash a second time. And have the challah from the, or egg matzah called the emotion. From the second time in the morning, all this should be done before 9:15, 9:33, 9:59, as the case may be. Now we keep getting earlier and earlier. Beyond that, says the Mishnah, why do we bother doing this? Why do we bother? We just determined that you can't fulfill the third meal anyway until after 12 o'clock or 12:30, as the case may be. The answer, well, we're not sure. We're trying to play all the odds of it, all the angles. We're not sure. It's true that some authorities say you can't fulfill the third meal until 12:30. But there are those who disagree. So in case those who disagree are right, we divide our morning meal into two. However,
you bench twice.
And you have to have a hefsek, a separation, otherwise you can't just bench and wash again. You have to do something in between. Walk around the block, whatever. Hefsek? Some say 15 minutes, some say half an hour, some say 5 minutes, long to walk around the block. You name it, you'll find it. That's what I've done earlier, that's exactly what was mentioned before. It's not only the extra benching time, it takes 5 minutes, but it's also an extra break time, which can take you, whatever, depends on you, which opinion you follow. But now we're not finished yet, because after all, most authorities say you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh shinas in the morning. Well, then, afternoon, we have some fish, just plain fish, and we do the best we can. We can't help it, that's all, we can't do any better than that. We have fish in the afternoon in case that's good. We have two meals in the morning in case of bread in case that's good. We do both, that's the Mishnah Brura says. This psak adds tremendous time pressure on the Jewish home on that Shabbos morning. Tremendous. Now instead of coming home having kiddush and a challah roll before the time deadline, you have to have the challah roll, and then you have to presumably eat something with it, because otherwise it just makes the first one into a bar. So you have a piece of fish, let's say, with the challah, you know, after the challah. And then you bench. Then you walk around the block and find something else to sort of distract yourself to get away from it all. Then you have to come back and make sure not to get lost with your clock, you have to get back in time and eat a second meal, and at least have the challah part of that second meal before the deadline, which is somewhere between 9:15 and 10 o'clock. That makes an additional time pressure, down much earlier in the morning. Of course, I must tell you, it is only a chumrah of the Mishnah Brura. Those who can't do it, can't do it, so forget about it.
So we can daven at a time. We should give those who are very quick an option to do this kind of a situation. Those who can't do it, it's too much pressure, it's too much paranoia, too much nerves. So forget about it. You do the best you can. That's all. Not such an absolute necessity. We try to fulfill all the opinions. However, what was mentioned before as a suggestion is now the rage around the yeshivas. But that's just the name of many people. And that is, instead of dividing the morning meal into two, when you have tremendous time pressure, but other options to divide what? The evening meal into two. Frankly, I never really thought it was a good idea. I thought it would maybe not work. I've never heard of the crazy thing. It's not printed anywhere in the books. But now I'm beginning to say it sounds like a very logical thing. And it certainly makes eminent sense from the household perspective. Don't forget, the night, there's plenty of time. There's no rush Friday night. We don't go anywhere. Friday, come home from shul, you have a meal, and then you have some fish, and then you go for and learn for an hour and a half. What's the rush? I guess the rush gets people a decent hour, so you wake up the next morning. Okay. But that's about it. There's no, we don't go anywhere. And the logic behind it, I think it's very good logic. Look, if you say you need three separate times for the three meals, evening, morning, and afternoon, and this whole thing is a waste of time anyway. Divine the evening meal is a waste of time, divine the morning meal is a waste of time. But it's also a waste of time. Now, the reason why the Mishnah Berurah says to divide the morning meal is why? In order to fulfill the three meals, according to those who maintain, that you can fulfill three meals any time of the day. Well, if they're right, and you can fill it any time of the day, well, why not any time of the night? The difference between day and night should be the same thing. That's the suggestion on the table right now. Divide the Friday meal in half, and now you can get up a little bit later Shabbos morning and not be so nervous with time, and have the piece of challah on the napkin again, and then put it away, and then that's it. Then you can watch the clock tick down to the deadline, and then while that deadline is passing, in the middle of your delicious filter fish, delicious chicken, and potatoes, and kugel, whatever you serve in that Shabbos meal.
If you walk to the end house, which is
I don't know. I mean, egg matzahs is a chumrah, so we try to keep it separate from the pace of the dishes too. It's a chumrah. So, that's what I recommend to do. I have to analyze further the nighttime option. I plan to do some more study about it, but if you can do that, it sounds like the best idea of all. Save that extra time when we're fresh for time, which is Shabbos morning. And spend it for our night when we're not in a rush for time. I must tell you before going any further that the Zohar, you know about the Zohar? Shimon Bar Yochai, you know, this Zohar says that on a Shabbos like this, there's no way to fulfill Shalosh Shimon. Can't be done. He makes three assumptions of Zohar. One, Shalosh Shittos can only be done after in the afternoon. And by learning Torah to somehow count it somehow instead of Shalosh Shittos. There's a famous story. There was some Hasidim who heard about this idea of learning Torah, and they decided, we'll learn Torah. Not only will we learn Torah on Erev Pesach, which falls down on Shabbos, we'll learn Torah every Shabbos. My Rebbe's namesake, Rav Yosef Ber Brisk, is quoted as having been amazed when the Chassidim, here he's against Chassidim, the Chassidim is instead of eating Shalosh Shittos, they would say a Shtickle Torah, from the Rebbe Shetorah, from the Zohar, from the Brisk, the Kabbalah. So he didn't like it at all. So Rav Yosef Ber said to his people, you know, well, number one, I don't like this whole Divrei Torah story either. Number two, even if the Divrei Torah is a valid way of fulfilling Shalosh Shittos, what happens if I slug off the Divrei Torah? I mean, I will prove that it's wrong. If I disprove the Divrei Torah, they lose the Shalosh Shittos. If I have a piece of challah and gefilte fish, you can't slug that up. You can't undo the challah and gefilte fish by eating my Shalosh Shittos. That's how you should fulfill the mitzvah. That's the story which is quoted in his
polemics with the Chassidim. Anyway, let's go on. Now that we've elaborated upon all of these different ways of fulfilling the mitzvah, we know there's no easy way out. We know that the challah can fill the fish by it from our shalosh. That's how you should fulfill the mitzvah. That's the story which is quoted in his polemics with the Chassidim. Anyway, let's go on. Now that we've elaborated upon all of these different ways of fulfilling the mitzvah, we know there's no easy way out. We know that the challah seems to me to be the best way to fulfill the first two meals, and even the third, which is divided in half, either at night, which sounds better, or in the morning. Matz is out, for sure, Erev Pesach by the whole day. Egg matz is itself controversial. Cooked matz is even controversial. Shmiras Shabbos suggests matzah milk cake. He thinks that he's discovered America, the greatest idea in the world. Have matzah milk cake, that should be good for everybody, and there's no problem. Matzah milk cake. Now, wait a minute. How much must you eat? That was Mrs. Freeman's question before. Let me now discuss this with you for a few minutes. How much must you eat in order to have to wash, bench, and thereby fulfill Shalom Shudas for holidays? There's a big dispute about how much must you wash and eat if you're not actually having bread or matzah proper. Some say it's enough to have the size of 3 or 4 eggs. And some say you have to have an entire meal. A meal as large as the average supper meal in America. Now, my personal opinion, as far as egg matter is concerned, and this is again only my opinion, is that egg matter has the same status of regular matter with respect to bracha all year long. And since we assume that matter is avotzi, egg matter is also avotzi. Now it comes in the box, now it's their whole screen, but I'm telling my opinion. And the reason I'm saying it is that egg matter is used, to my knowledge, primarily for a meal. And whenever used primarily for a meal, as a centerpiece of a meal, or the main part of the meal, to fill you up, called pots or lechem, and requires a hamotzi. Others say no, it requires a mizbori, meaning mizonos, like cake or cookie. And how do you have to build it up to hamotzi? You have to have a ton of it. How much is a ton of it? Some say the size of 4 eggs, some say the size of a full meal. Of course, if it's a full meal, it's generally assumed that we include within that shear of a full meal, not only the matzah itself, the egg matzah, but also the, the fish, the soup, chicken, or whatever else is served, still it's a pretty good shear. So Rav Moshe comes up with an idea which is very radical. He says that if you have cookies, cake, egg matzah, and you have even a kazayis, the size of an olive, and you have it on Shabbos, and you wanted to count as one of the big three meals, well, then you have to wash the bench. According to Rav Moshe, if you have two cookies, and it's kazayis, on Shabbos morning, you wanted to count for your Shabbos morning meal, or Shabbos afternoon meal, Rav Moshe said you have to wash the bench. Why? Because Shabbos itself makes that cookie to be considered into a permanent meal. Ordinarily, during the week, you require a large volume of cookies. But Shabbos, the very need to make them into a meal is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes a meal. And it requires a hamotzi. I'll be honest with you. According to Rav Moshe, I don't understand why she have to make a hamotzi. You make kiddush here in shul. You make kiddush in shul, and you have cake, or these bow tie crackers, or whatever else they have here, Kokish cake, delicious. Kokish cake. So why should you have to wash and bench it at a quarter of lunch? After all, it's a mizonos. It can count for a Shabbos meal. Maybe it's your intention which is significant. You don't plan to use it for a Shabbos meal. You're going to go home and have challah later. Yeah, but you know, very often you have challah after the 12 o'clock deadline. So you get home after a kiddush, it's much later. Sometimes. So I don't know. It's a big problem. How does the law end? Now let's go. So the Shabbos says, have your matzah milk cake. Now if you have the matzah milk cake, you should have some fish with it, you know, or something, some meat, and you'll have matzah milk cake. You can fulfill the mitzvah, according to everybody, fulfill Shalosh Shudas with no problem, he claims. Well, honestly, if Rav Moshe is right, then he's right. Rav Moshe said two things. Either of Rav Moshe's decisions would make the Shmir Shabbos ruling correct. Either decision number one, namely, that if you have a piece of cake at the end of a meal, and the meal itself consisted of meat, fish, etc., you have to wash, you have to bench. And if you do it in advance, you have to wash. Even though the cake is not functioning as a centerpiece of the meal, it's only a dessert. It's only just, you know, something which is unrelated to the main body of the meal. But most of them doesn't make a difference. Now that Shmir Shabbos is a suggestion, correct? But even to reject that, which many Poskim do reject, that's not true. That's the main part of the meal. Nevertheless, we're talking about Moshe's second ruling. Namely, that any time you have a cookies, cake, etc., add qua to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shabbos meal, by definition, is considered what we call a kviya suda, an indefinite established meal, and it requires washing and benching. So here too should be enough. This idea of the matzah milk cake. However, I must be honest with you. I, in my opinion, both assumptions are wrong. Rather, you know, most of them both right. Most people reject both. Most people consider a piece of cake at the beginning or the end of the meal. I'm not doing the meal at all. To be irrelevant, you would not require the washing bench. And most authorities say that even on Shabbos, if you have just a kazayas worth of cake and cookies and water to count, you would not wash the bench. So therefore, this trick of the matzah milk cake, which is from Neuvich, where Shabbos attaches so much promise to this suggestion, I'm not so happy about it. I don't think it's a good idea. So therefore, I recommend that we divide the one of the first two meals in half. I recommend use challah for it. If not, if you're too nervous, you use egg matzah. And in the afternoon, we have fish. That's the best we can do. Can't do better than that. You have to have fish in case those who say that the Shabbos Shudas can only be fulfilled after 12 o'clock. And you have to have these fish, the best we can do under the circumstances. Before I leave the topic, I want to just reiterate the fact that how much I recommend, if it's at all possible, to have the Shabbos morning meal before the, you know, Chatzot, before the midpoint of the day, which is now around 12:08, 12:09. I should add that if you have Kiddush here in Shul, you have this Kiddush cake, you know, this super special Kiddushim, then it's possible that you fulfill the obligation, at least according to some authorities, of a morning meal. We mentioned earlier that there are some who maintain that you can fulfill quote-unquote Shalosh Shudas with cake. What's the logic behind that? If you need three meals, what's going on? So the answer is as follows. That assumes that position, that for the three meals, it will be enough to have cake for all three. From the perspective of the three obligations, three meals is based upon the custom. The word hayom is said three times in the story of the month. Hayom, 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 three times. So therefore, some consider cake to be good for all three meals from that perspective. But as an additional level of halach, you have what we call kovod hayom and kovod halayla, honor the morning and honor the evening. And that honor, ideally anyway, according to some, it's actually an absolute requirement, must be fulfilled by washing and benching. You have to wash by night and wash by day, and some are to stick in a third meal. And that third meal, according to some authorities, can consist even of cake, some say even fish. No, the fish has only plain fish, shahako with a bar and a fush. That's all. What I'm saying now is a different story. Let's say you make kiddush here in shul, you hear the rabbi makes kiddush in shul, and you go to town. You have three pieces of kosher. Make sure you have a kazayin. You have So now, according to some authorities, I would say, you've already fulfilled your, quote, third meal. You're going out of order, right? Because fulfilled the third meal before the second meal. The second meal is going to take place when you get home. But you already fulfilled the third meal, quote, unquote, when you had Kiddush over here. That's relevant for individuals who, unfortunately, until they get home and until they wash, it's already after the midpoint of the day. I'm always banging my head, how can that be? It's terrible, it's a bad thing. Now, I once heard the name of a crime of risk. Maybe it's not so bad. If they have their piece of cake in the morning, until they get an exercise, until they get home and they wash, it's ready in the afternoon. So new Reb Chaim said it's not so bad. Because maybe, who says you have to have the meals in an order? You know, you have to have wash once every Shabbos. And you have to have an additional time of Shabbos, you have to have some other meal, be it fish, cake, as the case may be. Why must it be bread, cake? Why can't it be bread, cake, bread? What's the difference with the order is? I was told in the name of Reb Chaim of risk. And therefore, that's an opinion which will carry some halachic weight. It's also relevant for a different reason. There are many women I know that they just can't eat so much. They come in a kiddush, they have their three pieces of kokosh cake, whatever else they have there, I don't know what else they eat, the chalon, the luxury kugel, whatever else they have there, potato. Then they go home and they, you know, let's say it's even after chatzos, unfortunately. But all right, that's the way it is. They have another meal. Now there's something that's set at 4:30 in December. So now, I can't take it! I ate so much, I can't look at food now. So has she, and she could be a man also, but I'm saying it's more common room, has she been remiss completely as far as the obligation of Shalosh Shuddis? Has she completely neglected any possibility of fulfilling that mitzvah? Not necessarily. Oh, not necessarily. Perhaps the mitzvah of Shalosh Shuddis in effect was fulfilled. How so? In a sort of a backward kind of a way. The second meal maybe was fulfilled with the cake, which was consumed at Kiddush Shabbos morning in Shul. The third meal is fulfilled with the challah, which was consumed in the early afternoon when the people came home and started their meal. So it could be that three meals already consumed, according to the lenient view, which rules that cake is enough for one of the three meals. Maybe cake is not only enough for the third meal, maybe cake is also enough for the second meal. Maybe. So this is in terms of trying to find what we call a limud chus, and try to find a good point, a saving grace for those individuals who A, don't wash before the midpoint of the day, and B, who may not even have another meal at all in the late afternoon, especially in the winter months. Maybe this is what they want to rely upon. Maybe. That's just your general edification. Now to go back to place. So now you have your Shalosh Shuddis, you did the best you could. That's the most complicated of all the rules of Erev Pesach. Now what do you do? May you go to sleep on Shabbos, having in mind that by sleeping on Shabbos you'll be able to stay up late for the Seder. The answer, in my opinion, is yes. You may do so, but don't have to verbalize it. Don't go publicize it. Say, you know, we're all going to go to sleep now so we can stay up late for the Seder. That's not right. That's not recommended. Although it's possible. Possible, that might also be permissible. Possible. Even that might be permissible. There's no need to talk about it so much. Everyone knows that they're a patient. I'm just to say, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. So then I'm tired, you go to sleep. The old trick.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm not clear how much egg matzah. You said egg matzah, if you're going to choose that, you need to eat a lot.
No. I said, in my opinion, you need one kazayas of egg
matzah.
Now, how much is the kazayas? It's a different story. What is the kazayas? That's regular matzah. It's another story. That's next week. But suffice to say, it's less than a matzah.
Less than a matzah.
Well, not recently, but we'll demonstrate that to the decision next week. Now, one may not prepare anything on Shabbos for the Seder. Nothing. Zippo, zero. That makes it very difficult. We're not permitted to prepare until Shabbos is definitely out, which is just a little less than an hour after the sun sets.
Prepare for the second Seder on?
nor could you prepare on the first day Pesach for the second, which is Sunday afternoon from Sunday night. But of course, in a hotel, it's a caterer's nightmare, you understand. But even at home, it's a balabas night. What do? How do you handle this over here? Well, you handle it with patience. You're not supposed to prepare anything on Shabbos for the first day after Shabbos, even if it happens to be on. Can't do anything. You can't do anything. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. You have to ready on Friday to do it. Just let everything be for the same. Actually, yeah, I skipped one little point. You have to do the bittul on Shabbos morning. You have to do the bittul on Shabbos morning. Before whatever, the official renunciation or nullification has to be said on Shabbos morning for the second time. First time is Thursday night by the thread of the Dika. The second time is Shabbos morning. In the midst of all your tumult, don't forget to say that. All right. I've given a very brief summary of most of the halachas which are special and unique. They are a patent which falls out on Shabbos. Do you have any questions? Yeah.
When you make Kiddush the first Seder, it's mostly Shabbos, and you make Havdalah in it. You have in mind the candles you lit for the Seder, right? You don't use a Havdalah candle.
Different customs, okay. You mostly use the candles for the Seder.
How are you answer the mitzvah of that? You supposed to have two wicks together, right?
Well, another tremendous dispute. It's my first fight in Riverdale, just about. Really? My first camp to Israel, the first year, 20th of the airplane was a Shabbos. Just like this year. So I was just talking once, just minding my own business. I was talking about what you do when Abdullah falls out and it's Abdullah among the Shabbos and the Yontif. You know, you take the candle and you put one candle, you hold it next to the other candle. So you have a double flame and you make the bracha for my, whoa, wow, oh boy. There, the roof came down on me. I thought I saw my house for all the years. All of a sudden, you can't know how to do that. You're making an extra fire for nothing. You're breaking it. You're extinguishing a fire for nothing. Oh, leave me out of this one. Well, do whatever you want. Because you really don't have to have a double flame. It seems it'll be enough. What are you getting involved? Well, P.S. Many, many, many years later, I saw the same dispute that I had in Shul, a little plain shear, is already a print. It's an old pond dispute. May you put the candles together or may you not. So I'm glad that everyone was right on that part of the issue, because there are printed opinions on both sides of the issue. Whatever you do is okay. Don't let it sleep over. No electric lamp.
What if you don't have candles?
Don't have candles at all?
Hotels don't allow you to have candles.
Right, so what's the problem?
So how do you make kiddush in your dome?
You have to make the bar in the OAH somewhere, or find a candle somewhere, make the bar in the OAH. No candles in the whole dining room? No way?
Not allowed.
What do you mean not allowed? They don't allow it.
Candles on a table in the dining room.
How about inside somewhere? No way? That separate room, by the way, I call the towering inferno. I think if a person makes a bracha on that candle, it's a bracha levatolo. Towering inferno. The movie. Because that's the room they give to the candle lighting room. So you walk in there, it's like the Hannah Montana. It's 112 degrees. It's just filled with fire. And there are hundreds of candles burning. And I think it's a safety hazard. It's common as nothing.
I was actually in a place like that where it started a fire.
Oh, there it is, though. No? Not the box. Just don't do it. Don't do it, that's all. Okay, well, what do I do with my candles? Well, I've said it on many occasions before. It depends. If you have, let's say, a suite of a few rooms, so you find a room which can use a little night ladder. If you have only just your own private bedroom, which you want it to be completely dark, and a little bathroom, well, then put the light on in the bathroom. In my opinion, you can make a bracha, I'm sorry to say, on an electrical light. It would just put on in the bathroom. That's a better bracha than the bracha on the tower in Inferno, in my opinion. And then, even if you want to use for some nostalgic reason the Tower of Inferno, the hot house, what you should do is as follows. Let me finish. What you should do is first put on the light of the bathroom, then walk over to the Inferno. And light the candles and make a bracha. But have in mind that the bracha is on not only on these candles, it's also on the light you just put on in the bathroom. And see, I'm crazy. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said long ago did exactly that. He did it in the hotel. So he or his wife put the light in the bathroom, and he told his wife, when you light the candles in the Inferno, have in mind the bathroom light too. That's all.
It has to be
in the bed. I don't know. I think fluorescent is also good. And condensing is better. You can bring a little ball with you. There's always a, bring a little light box. There's always a plug in the bathroom. Always. That's a side point. You just got a little side point. It's important. Very important. Are there more questions? We'll call the shiur adjourned. Next week at 8:30, we have the Pesach workshop in the school. All he wants to know about Pesach. That's right. However, those laws were discussed primarily last week, and cakes are available for your interest. Furthermore, for those who are really interested, I will be discussing it with the Shabbos Haggadah of Russia, which is meant primarily for the male audience, but nevertheless, that will be taking place in a week from Shabbos. That's just the week before Pesach this year, or a week to implement that which the rabbi speaks about. As a matter of fact, the first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is that we're required to learn the laws of Pesach a month before. And the Shabura says now there is a minig of a drush Shabbos HaGadol. He writes the very first line. When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, you have to make the Shabbos HaGadol of Russia a week early. It's found here in the Mishnah Berurah, the first page of the, see the first page. Page one. Read it, of the first quint to pay, you have to just get the introduction. So that's something you should be aware of. Okay. Furthermore, the second halacha which is found on the very same first page, that we call Mo's Kippin, which is an ancient tradition to give money for those who are in need of it for the Passover holiday. Now, this came in a little bit of a tough situation, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know how to handle it because it's very difficult for me to make an appeal for most of the bar mitzvah insurers. We have 3 bar mitzvahs in a row just in prime time. So I'm going to have to postpone the official appeal till the Shabbos a week before Pesach. And I
think you should make it that
Shabbos. Yeah,
you
think. Yeah, I know. This past Shabbos had a lot of people. And you would have to pick up the pieces. So you would have to pick up the pieces.
Why?
Why?
No, this
is
I'm
just telling you a fact.
I make a bar mitzvah that comes after more than that permission.
Okay, very good. I will listen.
Tell me when you're going to make your next bar mitzvah.
Okay. Shut up. I've already forwarded a lot of money to Israel on the ground that I'll probably get the money in. That's really a little bit risky, but with the share of the word. Okay, so this is a very important custom, and everyone should try to participate in this custom appropriately. The month of Nisan is a very happy month, and if you don't fast in that month, and certain changes in the davening take place, and Tachman in that month. The custom is found in Shabbos Haggadah to recite the Haggadah from Avodah Mayinu until the beginning of, until before Dayenu. That's the custom which the Ramo quotes over here, and the Vilna Gaon's are not that way. Which the Rur quotes that. Some different customs, some do yes, and some do no. Yeah, a lot, but not exactly the same thing.
And what are you saying? This should be done
at home. Sure. Okay, now the Dikas Chametz. Dikas Chametz is usually done the night before Pesach. It can't be this year. This year I'm going to try a night. So therefore, the Dikas Chametz is done, of course, Thursday night. Where is the Bidika? Wherever you bring a Chametz. Simple as all that. Where is that? Well, it depends upon your house. Go over this time and time again. If there are children in the house, if they have a very, very thorough bedikah, because you never know where they're going to bring chametz. If however you have grown-ups in the house, then normally, under normal conditions, you're going to be much more lenient there are places which are, you know, out of bounds of food, and you also check those places for...
If you have children in the house, and your wife has done a thorough cleaning, can you go into the room and make sure you call the captain right in the ceremony and just say,
We don't...
We'll discuss that shortly.
Now, one should try to do the bedikah as soon as possible after nightfall, Thursday night. We're talking about not this week, not next week, but the week after. March 24th, I believe it is. What's the date then?
Eight.
So 16 days from now, Thursday, that's all it is. Thursday night, sweet 16 days from now. So we have to be ready to do the comments. All right, ready and out, here I come. That's what the pacing is, that's all about. Okay, before you begin the Bidika's comments, make a bracha, al beer comments. Not al Bidika, but al beer. Beer is burning. The reason for this is that the ultimate purpose of checking for the comments is to eliminate it. And eliminating it should be done preferably by burning it. So therefore, this is what should be said. If you leave your house early, which is very common, people go on vacation, etc., then no bracha is decided under the Bidika's Chametz. If you have to leave early, you're not going to be home that Thursday night. Let's say you leave your house 2 days before Pesach, with your last night alone will be Wednesday night. Do a Bidika Wednesday night. But no bracha is decided. That's very important to know. Moreover, the Bidika can be done, must be done, I should say, at that time, with a certain specification about how you see the chametz, etc., what kind of illumination you use, which we'll discuss it shortly, in the home. The primary place for bedikas chametz is the home. Any other place which may have chametz, not your home, you are required to check, but it's not necessarily an obligation to do it that Thursday night. You can do it earlier. That's very relevant. You have the office, the car, all this, really, that's very serious. All these things, although there are some possible who say you have to do it Thursday night, the car, or the office, the house, everything, in my opinion, that's not true. As long as you do the house Thursday night, that suffices, even though you are doing everything else, the office and the car, that's the earlier day, after which, of course, you will not bring in any more chametz. That goes without saying. Check your office today and bring in the comments the next 2 weeks, you accomplish nothing. Same with the car. So the other thing besides that, you should do it an earlier date, and from that point on, you should not bring any more comments into the car, office, etc., etc. There is a custom, an ancient custom, to put 10, or not 10, but the custom later became 10, crumbs of bread around the house. So it shouldn't be a bracha levatola. All right, the better reason for it is to make sure that the husband does a good job checking. Don't tell him where you put it. This we raised it earlier. Today, most people, when they check the chametz Thursday night, they're already relying on what their wife did for the last 3 weeks. And they're...
16 days.
All right. what Shushi called the candle-waving ceremony. I don't go that far. Candle-waving. In fact, it's not a ceremony. If you have to go look for those 10 pieces, you don't know where they are. You're desperate to find them. Often, if you only find 9, you go, where is it? You're looking. And you have to try to find?
Can't play hot and cold.
Alright. Now the, and there is grounds for this. To have a major check be done earlier and do a, I don't use the word perfunctory, but do a modified check. What is that word? Not Thursday night, but here's the basis for it in close. What do you use? A candle. In my opinion nowadays, a candle should not be used. We don't use any candles. We use flashlights. And the reason is obvious. If you look at the Mepharshim, they explain the reason why you use a candle, because in those days you use a candle as opposed to a torch, what we call a Havdalah candle, you know, which is many wicks, because they were afraid to put that torch or the big candle under the bed and in the corner, because they thought you could catch on fire. With a little candle they were very comfortable with, and they would make sure they'd be able to put all the nooks and the crannies. Today, in our society, people are not comfortable with candles, period. They're electric lights. And therefore, to my mind, use a candle that equip your style. I think it can't under the bed. So therefore, the preferred thing to use nowadays is flashlights, in my opinion. Flashlights to use and not a camera. We do it on ours. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Your kitchen, at that point, probably is all perfected.
No.
Maybe. You hope it is, okay?
Well,
let's assuming it is. Do you have to do Gdiga's Chametz in the kitchen then anyway? I mean, you're going to extra put out those breadcrumbs. Do you follow along?
You don't have to put in the kitchen.
No breadcrumbs in my kitchen.
Right?
There are other rooms.
Right, okay.
That's the track record for the last 20 years. But now I think course we up to see the one in the kitchen. She has a statement, you know.
And there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe. Okay. A chametz which falls behind a wall under a mound of rubble, there's no need to check for chametz behind it. Just let it be. My opinion, I think it applies to large appliances, such as stoves, refrigerators, washers, dryers. You often find in a kitchen or other room where you never move it. Ever, ever, ever.
What if you do?
If you are in the habit of moving it up and down and back and forth and around, then of course you have to remove it and check for the chametz. In my house, it hasn't been removed. I haven't been moved in 20 years. Well, I don't know, literally. 16 years or 17 years, except when they break. Doesn't count. They break. Different story. Okay. You're supposed to check your pockets. If you have put chametz there, children's pockets are notorious for sandwiches, pretzels, and things of this nature. So then you should check them. Okay. I would like to digress for a moment, and before going into the procedure after the week, which we'll get to shortly, to read you a letter which is very important to be read. These are notes based on the response of Rabbi Chaim Philip of Scheinberg Shlitter. Okay? In the comments of the students. This is entitled Clean for Pesach and Enjoy the Seder. And it's written 6 years ago. And it's as relevant today as ever before. Let me read it to you, because I think it's worth reading verbatim. In former times, wealthy people who had large houses also had many servants who did their very bidding. While poor people, who could not afford servants, lived in small homes with one or two rooms. Understandably, three Pesach chores of the rich were performed by the servants, while the poor, who had only their one or two rooms to clean, a few pieces of furniture, a minimum of utensils and some clothing, took care of their needs themselves. In those days, cleaning was hard. Tables were made of raw wood, necessitating them to be scrubbed or even to be shaven to ensure that no pieces of food were hidden in the cracks. Further, the wooden floors also needed to be thoroughly scrubbed and cleaned. Today, the paragraph, we seem to be caught in a trap. The average home is larger than those of former times. Furniture, utensils, and clothing are much more plentiful. The average home of today can compare with the more affluent homes of the old times. However, we do not have the servants that they had. So that today, all the chores fall on the lady of the house. At the same time, still feels obligated to clean and scrub as they did in the olden days, even though she had laminated furniture and tiled floors, making this type of clothes cleaning unnecessary. Okay, next paragraph. As a result of this, the pressure of pre-Pesach cleaning has reached inordinate and unnecessary levels. The lady of the house often becomes a nervous wreck, unable to enjoy the Simchas Yontov of a Pesach, and unable to perform the mitzvah of the Seder night according to her obligations. Next paragraph. Every woman, underline, must enjoy Pesach. This is an obligation clearly defined in the Torah itself, as explained by Chazal. She must look forward to it. She should not dread it like a Tisha B'Av. Every woman should be well rested, relaxed, and alert at the Seder table. I'll be happy to. It'll be my pleasure. So that she can fulfill all the Torah and rabbinic obligations and follow the Haggadah with the rest of the family. Clearly, the performance of her pre-Pesach obligations must be balanced against her Pesach obligations. It is evident from the response of the Rosh Hashiva speaker, of Rosh Chandra, that the pre-Pesach chores which are required to avoid the danger of transgressing any Torah rabbinic prohibition of having chametz in the house of Pesach need not be excessive. Next paragraph. It is not the intention here to nullify the hogim which have been passed down by Klal Yisrael from generation to generation. However, some practices adopted by the women in their Pesach chores nowadays are actually not a continuation of the olden hogim. For example, if a person does not sell his chametz, of course it is necessary to check his utensils to wash off any chametz left on them or render them inedible to animals. However, if chametz is sold, the scrubbing the pots, pans, and dishes which are going to be locked away is not necessary. One might be tempted to insist on doing the extra work anyway, to be, quote, machmir, to be stringent. However, in these synergies was a grave danger in causing many laxities and annulling many mitzvahs completely, Torah rabbinic obligations to comment upon the women on Pesach, and particularly during the Seder. Next paragraph. Many people like to do more, quote, cleaning in the bare minimum, to such an extent that some even incorporate their general, quote, spring cleaning, end quote, into their required pre-Pesach chores. These extra exertions should not prevent them from fulfilling their obligations on Pesach, and particularly on the Seder night. Wow. This is a very, very powerful introduction. I must tell you that the Seder night problem is somewhat mitigated this year. The reason for that is that the Seder takes place on Motzoi Shabbos, and the person can't do work on Shabbos anyway, so you can sleep. You're allowed to sleep the whole Shabbos.
It's sleeping place. Sleeping
the last day. Wow. You're allowed to sleep on Shabbos. You should not say explicitly, I'm going to sleep now so that I can be up for the Seder. That's not appropriate because, you know, Shabbos is an important day. Don't say anything. Let's go to sleep.
Can you tell your children that you go to sleep, that they should go to sleep because of it? No, really.
No, you shouldn't really say that. I mean, if you happen to
go to sleep. In advance, it'd be a good idea that this coming week when it's Shabbos, take a rest.
Okay.
Not on Shabbos.
Shouldn't really say it. Uh-huh. You need common sense. Okay. Now. Now, a couple of important things. The general obligation to check for and destroy crumbs does not apply if the crumbs are less than the size of an olive, kazayas, and are dirty enough to prevent the person from eating it, which means just about all the crumbs that are on the floor. They're most exceptions, very rare exceptions. They're less than kazayas, less than the size of an olive, and they're dirty, they don't want to eat them. So, you know, you have a tile, the colored floor, you sweep it, you rinse it. That's all. You give it detergent. It makes any food there inedible at the end. Finish. Don't do anything else. Food cabinet. You close it away, or you wash around with a rag, that's all. Refrigerator. Wipe with a rag.
The cabinet does not have to be
cleaned. Locked away?
Yeah.
Sure not. Sure not. Kashering sinks, we discussed it, pour some boiling water into the sink, and that's the end. Tabletop. Wash it with detergent, but usually covered. Marble counters. If they were used for hot comments, they should be cleaned well and boiling hot water poured on them. However, they are usually covered. What a beautiful sentence. That means the rabbis say you don't have to cover it, they wouldn't cover it anyway. That's exactly what it says. Alright. The range. So, Rabbi Sharman says, top, use kasha by lighting all the burners and raising to the maximum heat and putting a blef while the burners are on. Spread the heat over the whole top and intensifies the heat on the grate. Let it burn, catch this now, for 5 to 10 minutes. That's it. I was a little nap, but that's what he said. 5 to 10 minutes.
Is that what you do?
If you have new grates.
You have new grates. Oh. You have new grates. Worthwhile investment once it's finished. The oven itself, the crumbs use the EV off, 1 second. Afterwards, turn the oven to its maximum temperature for, catch this now, you're not going to believe it, 10 to 15 minutes.
Wow. Can you self-clean your grates?
Sure. 10 to 15 minutes. That's what he says. I mean, I read it right over here. Okay? Fine. Last sentence. Enjoy Pesach. Try to make the Pesach chores easy for yourself. Don't do unnecessary hard work. Don't do unnecessary cleaning. You can be like a queen, and you must enjoy your Pesach. How do you like that?
And what about when you, and Leon, when you cook for a lot of people, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do, and maybe that is your enjoying of.
What?
With the cover on, with the black lab of Lachazan.
No. The black on, so you intensify the heat. Checking the house, you have to make a certain pronouncement. Put aside this pen crumbs or else you found it, make a solid pronouncement. All chametz, which is in my row, which I don't see, which I haven't burned, should be bozel, should be considered bozel, meaningless. And like Afra the Ara, should be like the dust of the earth. Meaning the dust of the earth. In which the blue and the Chumra, to say Hefner. But you say not only should be meaningless, you also say it should be Hefner, should be ownerless. Meaningless and ownerless. But you must say it in a language that you understand. You must say it in a language you understand. Okay. Now.
You say the end part or not either? You say that part after you finish the Badika,
no matter what it is. Whenever you do the Badika, you have to say this for the first time.
No.
Then there's a second part. There's a second part you say this expression. When is that? That is the morning of Erev Pesach. This year, that is Shabbos morning. Right. We burn, it's interesting dichotomy. We burn the chametz Friday morning, and we say the expression of Kol Chamira, we call this expression Shabbos morning.